Tim Campbell joins us from Portage in Maine in Winnipeg to break down the Jets from NHL.com. Timmy, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm excellent, Jason. How are you today?
Good. I just want to clarify, because we had a lot of texters saying they weren't going to listen because they thought we were bringing Ken Campbell. I just want to say it's Tim Campbell that we have on the show.
Thankfully
today.
For that.
Very, very different. Very different. The Jets were rolling. Suddenly they've hit the skids, and they've hit the skids against the other two top teams in the North. They've lost two in a row to Edmonton, two in a row to Toronto. Nick Ehlers is now out for the remainder of the regular season. Lowry's out for who knows how long. Is this just a funk, or are there some other concerns at play here with the Jets?
Yeah, I think it's just a funk because I'm going to say that today anyway, because they haven't had one yet this year. I mean, I think they might qualify as the last team in the North to have their funk. Before the skid, they had only lost two games in regulation in a row, like one time. And that was like when they visited Edmonton in the middle of that wildly crazy schedule they had going on with all those road games in a pretty short stretch of span. And they didn't even, I mean, they actually kind of liked their game when they lost to the Oilers back there in March. And they bounced right back and started winning some more games on the road. So they haven't had any kind of really bad week period until now. And I think a little bit has to do with the injuries. I mean, the two guys that are missing, Ehlers is, probably their fastest player, and he's been having another, really, really strong season, over 20 goals again. And Adam Lowry, who is a way more important player to the Jets than most people outside of Winnipeg realize. So the confluence of those two injuries and probably an overdue skid here. And you've got a lot of stress around Winnipeg, that's for sure.
Well, and I know, like, Strutty said it a lot. A lot of people were like, man, I can't believe the Jets didn't add a defenseman. Now, I know they went hard at Ekholm, and he just didn't land him. And I'm not sure, after Savard went to Tampa, like, there was other D-men. They probably weren't bringing Kulikov back just because kind of being there done that. But, he fits in well in Edmonton. How much of that lack of landing a defenseman do you think is going to come back and haunt the Jets?
Well, I think, as we get into the playoffs, it's going to be a subject for discussion. Defense has been a subject for discussion in Winnipeg since the months where Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers and Dustin Byfuglien and Ben Sherrod all hit the road. I mean, that's coming up 2 years ago. Last season it was a concern. And they muddled their way through with good goaltending and they had a lot of injuries, and then they were just getting healthy when the pause hit, a year ago March. So they appeared to have survived it. And this season, I mean, I said this to someone earlier today in Winnipeg, there's a lot of stress over how the Jets haven't played very well in the last few games here. But how many people before this all started in January had the Jets in the playoffs, never mind with potential home ice advantage in the top two? Like, I don't know too many people. I know I didn't have. I had them as a bubble team and probably out. I can fess up to that prediction. And I don't know. I guess, what did you do for me today? What have you done for me today is the prevalent thought these days. But I think they've got a good enough group of forwards and a good enough goalie, and their defense is ordinary but not as bad as people think, that they'll get this figured out at some point.
Yeah, you'd think so. The Ehlers one definitely is a big blow for them, just because it has a lot of speed on their attack. And, Blake Wheeler, I'm not sure if he's the same guy here in the last few weeks, just because, he's taken some hellacious hits. And what about Dubois? Like, maybe it's just the whole year from him having a quarantine, getting banged up, groin injury. Like, I think there's some players that just haven't been able to find their footing, right? Like, we've seen it with James Neal in Edmonton, and James Neal was not expected to be a main player by any stretch, but by all reports, he had a really good offseason, then he got COVID and it crushed him, and he's really never recovered.
I think the comparison is a good one. Like, a player trying to find his footing You know, here are the two things on Pierre-Luc Dubois for me. He's young, and I think a lot of people forget that because he, you know, he had a pretty good season in Columbus last year, and he was very noticeable in the playoffs. And, you know, what happens when those events happen? Well, if expectations go way up. And so he has to change teams. He has to go through the long version of the quarantine. He's with a new team now. And now, you know, they've got a strong group of forwards in Winnipeg. And what does the coach do when he gets ready and comes in? Well, he plays them with this group, and then he plays them with that group. And he's basically changed lines every 7 or 8 days here. And recently I've heard Paul Maurice saying, you know, despite some of the bad habits they've been getting into, that he sees Pierre-Luc Dubois' game sort of getting a little more stabilized here, and he's finding his footing. You know, there are probably small things within the game you'd really have to look at because it hasn't looked great for the Jets overall, but I think you see him, he's a little more attuned to his wingers or to the line mates he's been put with. But he, you know, for my money, Jason, he's had to play basically with a whole bunch of them here. I think that was the coach, you know, shooting for this theory of, you know, well, it's not always lines coaches are searching for. It's pairs. Who are my best pairs? And you can build around that. I think he's been trying to find the right pairing for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and who that is so far, I'm not sure. I think Paul Stastny might be pretty high on the list, but it remains to be seen over the last 8 or 9 games here for Winnipeg. But I think he's a player that, you know, he could surprise some people in the playoffs, given his trend.
Tim Campbell joins us. Tim, you look at the Winnipeg Jets and Connor Hellebuck's season against the Oilers, awful. He's got an .870 save percentage, .429 goals against. Against the rest of the division, he's .921. You know, he's got basically Vezina Trophy-like numbers. How much is that as Hellebuck against the Oilers? How much is it at the system they're playing really allows Edmonton to capitalize on how they like to play, which is just, you know, create chances off the rush? Like, how much of it is the goaltender being better, and how much is just the Jets? They got to find a way to slow Edmonton down, or they're going to get murdered.
Well, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think you're generous if you think the Jets have had a system against Edmonton, because I don't think, you know, trying to be aggressive and leaving open ice for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl running up the ice, I don't think that's much of a system. So, you know, I think that was one of the reasons I heard in the post game the other night that Paul Maurice decided, you know, not to pull Connor Hellebuck when, you know, the mess was unfolding in the first two periods, because he didn't put it on him. He just, you know, he said, what did he say this morning? Something like, you know, allowing Connor Hellebuck or Connor McDavid 7 eye-to-eye looks at Connor Hellebuck isn't much of a strategy, and I think he's right about that. So, you know, it's part of the reason they've had this skid in the last 4 games and week and a half here is, you know, Connor Hellebuck's been the second best goalie, I think, 4 games in a row, and that's not going to be good enough. So, yeah, he's probably got to play better. But playing better is going to involve the others on his team too. And that'll be, you know, trying to cut down on the open looks that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and others can get at him tonight. I think the Jets, they weren't very smart with a lot of their puck decisions the other night. I still think it's a carryover from that 17 road games out of 22. You know, they coasted through, I don't know, coasted is the wrong word. They did really well through that. Won their share of games, you know, kept a good position in the division. And me, I thought once they got through that, they'd be fine. But I think they're showing the wearying effects of that, you know, 6 weeks, basically. I think they were home for 5 days out of 6 weeks. And I think the effects of that are coming home to roost now, not while it was going on. Now, we'll see if they, you know, a 2-day break since Monday's game has been enough for them to clear their heads and maybe make a few better decisions tonight. I think that'll be the most important thing in the game tonight.
Well, Tim, we look forward to seeing what happens. We could be talking lots. Oilers and the Jets potentially could meet in the postseason for the first time since 1990.
You know, Jason, I think you're onto something there. We're going to be having a few more conversations, and I, for one, will be looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate your time.
Have a great day.